This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This homestand started off with a loss to the Nats and two wins after that. Day off, a loss, and two wins after that. So two series wins against the Nats and the Braves. The Yankees are coming into town. But there's an individual that started this whole thing off in a bang. It's Luke Williams. He's joining me right here on Pine Tar for Breakfast. Coming up next.
In the air to left field. Going back on it. It is gone! Kevin Franzen sends everybody home.
Ball's in. Coming down.
What up? And welcome to another episode of Pine Tar for Breakfast. And this might be my favorite one I've ever done. There's been quite a few, and always excited to have them. But today, I'm not going to waste any time. So let's bring on the guy that everyone's talking about, his first big league hit. I think it was a drag bunt down third baseline. I think that's the one that they were talking about. Recently called up, Captain America, Luke Williams. What's up, dude?
What's up, Kevin? Appreciate you having me on, man.
I think it is the drag bunt, right? That's what they're all talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
we'll get into that first game and everything, but there's something I always wanted to do in my career, and that was always play for Team USA, whether it was in college, pro ball. You know, a couple of my buddies played on the Olympic team in 08. Never got that opportunity. You had that opportunity to get Team USA into the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo. Tell me about that experience real quick.
Man, that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience to, be a part of that group, to be able to, put USA across my chest and play. It'll give you goosebumps, that's for sure. And it was a pretty remarkable experience.
All right, so you grew up in Dana Hills. Were you an Angels fan?
Yeah.
Great. So you got to be Sosh is your first manager on Team USA. Awesome.
Oh, I mean, it was incredible. And have him there. And I was starstruck for sure. He led the Angels to, the 2002 World Series and managed for, 10 plus more years. It was, it was awesome.
Yeah, I should have been able to tell you before that he had a great nickname for me that he put all over my stuff. So let's just say it started with an F and then the last part was nuts. So you could just say however it was but playing under him, there's certain things that you learn, and the game of baseball, is a passion for him. But then there is a lot of other guys that were on Team USA, right, that have tons of big league experience. And not only that, success. Who did you migrate towards?
Man, I migrated all of them. Edwin Jackson, Matt Kemp, Todd Frazier, Logan Forsythe, Homer Bailey. I mean, just to name a few. That's it's incredible. And to be able to, interact with those guys and how open and how friendly they all were was just mind-blowing. Especially because, like you said, they had so much success in the big leagues. And, you never know what these guys were like in person. And to be able to John Jay too, can't forget John Jay, because he's my dog. just all of those guys, dude, it was so awesome. And just to sit back and listen, to ask questions to those guys, it's stuff you'll never forget.
Oh, no doubt. But did it ease it up a little bit? Like, I don't want to say ease up, because like the big leagues and Team USA stuff, they are two separate entities on the whole thing. But like game one, you're leading off in that qualifier for Team USA. How much different was it than your first start with the Phillies?
Some similarities, but some big differences. Obviously, you know, the crowd wasn't as big with Team USA. You know, I was in a ballpark that I've played in before, the Mets minor league stadium or spring training stadium.
Oh, Port St. Lucie. That's right.
Port St. Lucie. Yeah. So like I've been there before. The crowd was pretty good. Nicaragua had a crowd. Yeah. And they were loud. So, you know, that was exhilarating, but just like the feeling of, I guess, that first at bat, just knowing what it all means and everything, just the goose and, you know, getting the goosebumps, like those feelings were pretty similar.
Yeah. You can't, and you can't replicate it. Right. I mean, like you think you're like, oh man, this is great. Next thing you know, you're like, whoa, you get to Philadelphia. They're like, this is a whole new world right here.
Seriously. You're just trying to like stay calm and whatever. Try not to make it that big of a deal. But then once you walk up into the box and step in, you go, holy crap. Yeah. You know, like I got in my first at bat with Team USA and was like, oh man, just don't strike out. Don't strike out. You know, because you're so, I'm like, damn, I got butterflies. I'm going, you know, and fortunately, you know, I had a pretty good at bat, ended up walking that first at bat. And then, you know, from then on, it was just, you know, let's go play some ball.
See, I wasn't a big walker in my life when I played, but a walk always seemed to calm me down like no other. If I ever got like the randomness of me walking, I was like, oh yeah, I'm good. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. You know, I agree with that. And just to be able to do that at first at bat, I like to think I can sneak some walks here and there, but I'm not a big walker either. You know, I like to be aggressive at the plate, but I also, you know, got to take my walks to get on base. So to be able to do that first at bat and then just roll from there was pretty sweet.
Well, see, what's crazy is that like, this is never about like, oh, California and all, but like I grew up in Northern California, Southern California. We're taught put the ball in play. Like it doesn't matter how old you are, what grade you're in. You know, the little league or college ball, it's very similar stuff. And I feel like when you say that, I relate. Like, it's like, yeah, I mean, I can walk if I want, but we're taught two strikes, put the ball in play, figure out a way, do all that. Is would you agree or would you kind of veer off that and say like, it's kind of changed a little bit?
No, I agree. And call me old. I agree 100%. you know, especially like, you know, it started in high school for me, like little league kind of coming up through like playing some travel ball. Like it was just play baseball, you know, have fun, do your thing. High school, Dana Hills High School was first time where it was like, all right, we're playing small ball. Like we're going to bunt, we're going to hit and run. And at first, you know, obviously you kind of like, I'm going to be honest, like in high school, like I wasn't a big fan of it because it was, you know, you're taught to do it, but at the same time, you're like, hey, I want to hit, you know, I want to swing, I want to be able to, you know, help the team. But at the end of the day, you know, if you execute those things, you know, it's huge and it'll win you ball games. And so, I agree with it. It's SoCal baseball. And then, you know, when you go to the colleges in SoCal, UC Irvine, UCLA, Long Beach State, just to name a few, it's like, it's gritty baseball and you're going to see those teams, you know, they're going to have a runner on first with one out and they're going to bunt just to get the guy in scoring position, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, I would totally, that's SoCal baseball. And, you know, even Bobby Meacham said that.
Yeah.
My first at bat, you know, modern day guy, you know, Anaheim area.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, that's SoCal baseball.
But dude, it was amazing. Cause like, look, okay. I remember my first AB, it was in San Francisco playing at home, versus the D-backs. And that's, I was hitting awesome, second that game.
Yeah.
The guy was playing me in and I'm like, dang it. That's part of my game, man. I can lay one down, but I was thinking I'm going to go up there and I'm going to smoke one for a hit, you know, like whatever. I hit a one hopper double play. You go first pitch, lay down a perfect drag bunt. Like to me, like you got to be so in the moment. And I'm wondering if that, you know, being in that Team USA atmosphere that week, you know, the week that you get called up, that help out and calming it down a little bit.
Oh, I think it helped out so much because our mentality with that team was like, no matter what, who, like, I could have gone 0-for that whole tournament as long as we won, you know, and we had that mentality. John Jay, Todd Frazier, those guys were huge with our lineup, our position players, where it's just like, you know, if you get out or whatever, so what, move on. Or like, you know, if you're going to get out, make it a productive out, you know, like we were in it to win no matter what. And I think that's helped me so much too, just to be able to observe the field a little more where, and you know, obviously I stepped in the box and saw the third baseman was back. So it was like, all right, like we're down two runs right here. It's the fifth inning. Like, let, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to get on base. And, you know, fortunate enough, I got it down and made my way to third. And then, you know, the game, you know, fortunately we lost, but scored a run that game and ended up, you know, tying it, giving us a chance to win. So,
yeah. Well, let's be honest here. You said something there that like almost made me tear up, because you talk about down two runs, fifth inning,
yeah,
guys, at, you know, at third base. It's the observation. It's understanding that the scoreboard dictated it, right? I mean, like that's a huge
100%.
Thing.
100%.
I just don't. We could talk about it, and it's not about like, oh, crushing the game. It's just not everyone understands that's on the field today that the scoreboard literally dictates everything that you could do at the plate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I honestly think, like, I can probably say if I didn't play with Team USA, I probably wouldn't have done that. You know, like, bunting is a part of my game.
Yeah.
I think that meant, like, that mentality of, I'm going to do anything at all costs to win. Like, you kind of, you always want to win. But going through that minor leagues, sometimes, you know, that kind of goes to like the second or third most important thing, where it's like, you know, you're developing, you're learning by yourself and everything else, which is kind of unfortunate because, you know, once you do get to the big leagues, it's,
yeah,
win at all costs.
Well, that's the thing that I've never understood is why in the minor leagues, it does, I'm not talking about the Phillies organization, I'm talking about just in general.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you get organizations that, you know, try to teach and develop not only just the professional, the big league player, but the winning player, and
yeah,
understanding what, you know, what you can and can't do in certain situations based on the scoreboard. And like, if you could, I don't know. I just feel like if you can infuse that into, you know, let's say 75% of the team, you're going to win a ton in the minor leagues, and winning matters.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. But I think the Phillies actually do a really good job of that. When I first came in to the organization, you know, it was still, you know, relatively old school baseball with our staff. We had the minor, yep, leagues. Doug Manzolino, Andy Tracy, Chris Truby, Andy Abad.
Great baseball.
Witt, just great baseball people. And, you know, we always had like, they always gave like awards for just baseball plays where it was like backing up, a base as an outfielder, or, you know, sacrifice bunt, or, you know, hit the ball the right side moving over. That, you know, that was huge, even though we didn't really know about it in the moment, you know,
yeah,
where you're just like,
sure,
man, I'm in pro ball. Like, let's go play baseball. You know, I don't want to deal with this crap. But, you know, I think the group that I've gone through the minor leagues with is, you know, a really special group. You know, a lot of those guys are in AAA. You've seen a few of them,
yep,
up in the big leagues. It's a really special group. And, you know, if you look back through the minor leagues, like our records, like,
you guys won.
We've won.
Yep.
You know, yep. And it's pretty awesome. And I think that Philly fans should be really excited for what's to come with this team and this organization.
Well, let me put a bow on the Team USA stuff. How was it a little bit more comforting too with Rolly there as well? Rolly DeArmas?
Oh yeah. Rolly's just the absolute man.
Yep.
He's a legend through minor, you know, professional baseball and the Phillies organization. Can't say enough good things about Rowley. To have him there, and you know,
because he was your manager right away.
Yeah,
right,
he was my
right when you got drafted,
manager.
Right?
Yep. Yep, right away. And yeah, to have him there and to see him every morning, say what up, you know, it was pretty awesome. And to see him, to see his reaction after we won was priceless. Because Rowley loves baseball, man. Yeah. God loves it. And yeah, it was nice to have him there.
All right, so June 5th, 2021, you guys are playing in Port St. Lucie against Venezuela.
Yeah.
You're leading off. You go 1-for-5. I mean, we'll talk about that at some point. But you guys got the win, so you're good, okay? You know, whatever.
Right. Yep.
But did you know that day? Did you know afterwards? Or did you get a little bit of time to just celebrate with the boys? Or and when did you get that call?
So, yeah, we won. You know, the boys, we did our thing after, you know, enjoyed it.
Yeah, a lot of water. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, hydrate.
Yep.
And then we all shipped out the next day, flew back to Allentown, and, you know, didn't really think much. You know, I was just really excited about what we just did, and I was also excited to be back with my boys in Allentown. Mm-hmm. Go back to playing, and didn't really think much. And then I was also excited because I had two tickets to the Brooklyn Nets Bucks game.
Oh,
for Monday.
Wow.
So yeah, shout out Jake Williams, my brother, for hooking that up for us. So you know, I asked Mickey Moniak if he wanted to go, and he was like, oh, without a doubt. So I was just, you know, excited to go to a basketball game, and sure enough, on the subway, going into the city, Josh Bonifay, our farm director, gave me a call and told me the news.
So did you go back?
Oh, no. No, we went to the game.
Nice!
Yeah,
yes!
We went to the game because
yes!
He said they didn't need me until you know, the next day because they had an off day as well.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. It was funny too, because we're on the subway, and I told Mick, and so Mick and I are just freaking out on the subway.
People are like, who? Like, there's already crazy people on the subway, but you got like two guys like going nuts. You're like, wait, these guys are really weird.
I know. We stepped off the train, and we were like, man, I wonder what these people were thinking while we were hugging each other. Like, I'm on the verge of tears, and like, I was, you know, it was, it's, you know, just another edition of crazy ride it's been, dude.
Well, okay, so I mean, like, now that you bring that up, I mean, you're with a guy that was a number one overall pick who's gotten a couple chances here in the big leagues. I mean, nothing that is going to, like, say, oh, man, that solidifies either he can't or can't play, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's there with you, and now you're getting that call. Can you put into perspective what his reaction was to you and just be like, dang, man, that's awesome.
He reacted. It was an awesome reaction, and I would say Mick and I have a, you know, pretty special relationship. We've been through it all, through the minors, lived together, we've sucked together, we've gotten out of the suck together. You embraced the suck together, right?
I mean, you embraced it. You got to at some point.
We really did. Clearwater, the first half of Clearwater, first half of Reading, we had some slow starts, and we did it together. We fought through it together. We learned together. And to have him there when I got that call was it was pretty surreal.
That's awesome. Like I those are those moments. I remember being in Portland, getting called up, and my roommate at the time, Dan Ortmeier, just enormous dude, 6'4", 230, like basically like picked me up and like threw me against the wall. He was so excited. It was like he was so pumped, and I'm like, I remember that more than anything,
right?
Like more than the words from the assistant GM. I remember just Orty's response on it, and I was like, dude. So that's I was trying to, I was wondering what Mickey's meant to you, and you having that same reaction is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, I got to be there with him at the alternate site when he got his call up. So, it's awesome. And, you know, it just shows that, like, you know, it's a brotherhood, this baseball yep. thing, you know, it's, you know, I think a lot of people say when they're done, they remember, you know, they miss the camaraderie the most.
Yep.
You know, and it's pretty special.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sucks without it. Let's just say there.
Sure.
You know, in 2019, so you're in Reading, and you just mentioned it. You had a slow start, yeah. and a real slow start. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Don't sugarcoat
fine.
It. No.
That's fine. Yeah. Because you learn the most in your struggles, and Absolutely. You have credited Tyler Henson, your guys' hitting coach. Good dude. Talk about another good really? Baseball dude. But you know, an adjustment and being able to embrace that adjustment and run with it. What was yeah. that?
So, yeah, I've attempted many adjustments throughout my career and, you know, thought it would work and then didn't work and all this stuff. And, you know, one day it was right after a game. Or was it right after? Yeah, it was right after a day game. And I was like, I was frustrated. And I went, Henny, like, let's go to the cage. Like, I was planning on just hitting till my hands bled. And, you know, we went in. He goes, hey, man, like, I want you to try something. I don't know if it's going to work, but, you know, or he didn't tell me that. He was just like, you know, let's try something out. And it was an adjustment to lower my hands, to rest them on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of relax. And I think it's just to relax the lower half a little bit. And to also get my hands in the same firing position for every pitch. Because I would lose my hands. I had no idea where my hands were. And I'd get no separation as well.
Yeah, you went Ricky Bobby on everyone. I don't know
yeah.
what to do with my hands, man.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with my hands. Seriously. So did that, and I was, you know, I was like, all right, like, this feels all right. This could work. And I tried it for a week. I didn't totally buy into it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel right. And then it was like, I remember one game, he goes, dude, just do it. You know, I think we're up or down a few, and it's just like, dude, you got nothing to lose. Go for it. And I think I had a line drive barrel or something, and I was like, oh, hey-o. and then I think it was a little bit of a mental adjustment too, of being a little more aggressive and just shrinking, being a little aggressive and shrinking my zone, where it's like being super aggressive on, like, you know, pitches in the zone, like if right out of the hand,
yep.
if it's in the zone, you know, go for it. And, and like, kind of like a swing mode, you know, yes, yes yep. mode. And then, you know, I started having some success, and then, rolled with it. And, since then, it's been just polishing, you know, the mental side of hitting and the mental approach and all that stuff. But, yeah. Well, credit to Henny for that, and Ochart was a big help too. Our hitting coordinator, and, you know, there's countless guys out there. Joe DeMarco, a guy I work with back home. You know, there's a lot of guys that help me out.
Well, okay, so then it takes on a new form, right? So you end up that second half just killing it, and you're heading into 2020. You get the invite to big league camp. Spring training 1.0 in 2020, you're like, I remember going, wow, whoa, whoa, all right.
Yeah.
Like, someone changed something, and it was the hands.
Yeah.
But it was every ball that you hit was on a line. It seemed like every swing you took, you're like, oh, this ball's going in the gap. Yeah. And you ended up like hitting 400. The unfortunate thing for the entire world happens in the pandemic. But how fortunate were you to go to the alternate site and continue what you had, you know, progressed on, had locked in on, in the second half of 19 mm-hmm. to, you know, spring training 1.0, Was that a huge, do you think in your mind, a huge thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so many guys out there that didn't even get a sniff of live pitching or any sort of game situation. So to be able to go get live at bats and to play against guys, it was game like situations. It was awesome just to be a part of that. Because, like I said, a lot of guys sat at home and tried to work out at a local park or something,
Yep. And then, look, you take it and you run with it. And, you had a good spring training. This year you go into AAA for the first time. You went off early part in the year. And then you go to Team USA. You get the call up and you're here in Philadelphia because you earned it, right? So tell me about... We've talked about the bunt, we've talked about that, but first start, you're playing against the Braves. Was it helpful you get that pinch hit and get the one right out of way so you could just get going and do your thing?
Yeah, it was helpful. But I was still pretty dang nervous my first at bat with the start. I only saw one pitch, I bunted it.
Yep.
To have first ball at bat, definitely some butterflies, but that start was incredible. Center field too, just that view in center field.
It's a beautiful one.
Oh, I mean, I have that image in my head right now. It's just it's pretty special, and to have the two guys that are looking left to right to Bryce Harper and Andrew McCutchen.
They're okay. Yeah, they're all right.
They've had pretty good careers so far.
Their bank accounts are a little bigger, but that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get there one day. You keep plugging away. but I mean, that is at some point it's an ease, right? Like it puts you at ease. Like you don't feel like you have to carry the world in center field when you look left and right, and there they are, right? I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah, that is. That is a big thing too. Take some stress off of you where it's like these guys have been there. These guys know exactly what they're doing, just do your thing and try not to screw up.
You strike out in your first at bat that game.
Yeah.
Pitch up in the zone, Tucker Davidson. I was doing a playful game up in, I record some games. Anyway, long story short, I didn't say Tucker one time and I had to delete that. But you come up your second at bat, you get aggressive again in the zone, get a pitch, and you whack it down left field line. Just ball was scalded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're always going to remember your first, big league knock, right? You're going to remember the bunt and the situation, everything. You just, you regurgitated it already to me. But dude, you don't forget your first, Lena.
No, no, you don't. It don't. That thing felt good too.
And folks being in the stands, one brother wasn't there, but one brother was, and you're probably the best athlete in the group, right? Your sister was there.
She's got quite the resume. I don't know if I have that one yet.
Yeah, no, someone sent it on, I think Tom McCarthy was talking about it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to look it up. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. All American, like home run leader, doubles leader, like, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had a one-upper and do what you did. But, I mean, like that moment, from your bunt to your double and then to the great walk-off, their reaction is what everything's all about is family. Yeah. And it just seems like that, you go through it together. They go through the struggles with you. They go through the high points with you. What was it like having them there?
It was special. It was really, really special. Like you said, they've been through the struggles with me. The highs, the lows. I can't tell you the amount of miles both my parents have driven me to tournaments. The countless trips to Arizona to play tournaments. It was just just all the sacrifices they've made for me. It's pretty crazy
to kind of look back and reflect, to see all the sacrifices and everything they've done. You know, it's a full family effort. You know, it wasn't just me.
Yeah, no, dude, that's what, you know? it's a fact. I can say it. I mean, I know it. Yeah. They go through so much with you, and you're just like, you don't want to say you feel like you let them down when you have those bad games, but they also let you know that, you know, they're there no matter what. And it's almost like you have that debut, you have that big knock, or in your case, big three knocks. it just says, like, it's almost like the thank you to them, right? I mean, like, thanks. Like, you guys have always been there and you guys are here. Like, it's so awesome.
Yeah, it is. And, I think the hug, you know, hugging my dad after the game was pretty awesome. Guys been, you know, had his, you know, we've had the moments where we've yelled at each other. We've had some, he's, you know, the guy was tough. But it, I think it hit me like 2 years ago. Just looking back, and I went, damn, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, he, you know, molded me into the man I am right now. So it's pretty special to have him there.
Well, you grind it out with him. You grind it out with your family. I'm sure there's plenty of wiffle ball games in the backyard, maybe some fights. So, I mean, like, that's the thing, right? I mean, like, you're going to have those moments, and then you're facing a guy that has been one of the best closers in all the game, right? I mean, in the last few years, at least from the left side, Will Smith is one of the best.
Yeah.
Kutch has an incredible AB.
Oh, and incredible.
and you're talking about a team that was, I'm not going to say lifeless, but yeah, you had your struggles that day against Tucker Davidson, not yourself, but the team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How much did that Kutch AB two at bats before you, like, fire you up? Because you just seem you're a guy that looks at that and understands what that is for a squad.
Oh yeah, he grinded that at bat. That was and you know, that's what Kutch does. You know, he's gonna give you high quality at bats day in and day out, and that was huge. That was really huge, and yeah, it fired me up. Fired me up, you know, a lot. And almost to a point where I had to calm myself down a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was huge. Obviously, you know, it wouldn't have happened without him.
First pitch strike, 0-1 count, two outs. Like, can you put it into perspective, like, what you're thinking in that moment? Like, seriously, like, the bat's resting on your shoulder. You look calm, but what was it inside?
It was calm. You know, I think a lot of the nerves kind of disappeared a little bit, you know, where it's like, all right, it's just, we're playing baseball. This is just baseball. And coming up, all I was thinking was just find a way on. I know he was pounding heaters in. And he's going to try and backfoot a slider. So, I was trying to see it out over the plate, but I was ready to try and inside out one to right field. You know, just trying to put a barrel on the ball, and then
instead you shot it.
Yeah, and I think that's what that kind of approach helped me stay on that slider, and I think he left it a little more middle than he would have liked, and I didn't miss it.
And then the stroll around the bases, like, you hit it, you knew you got it.
Yeah, I knew I hit it good.
Last year's ball might have been second deck, but I mean, like, the D-Juice ball, like, you still like knew you got it.
Yeah, I think you can see once I really realized I got it, I was, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and then. See, you know, seeing the guys in the dugout, seeing Paco lose his mind at first, just goosebumps. I had got chills when I hit first. And I was just making sure I hit every base.
Yeah. That day, a couple people missed the base, so it's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
And you say that, and I'm like laughing. I'm going, man, like, how many times have you watched it? Because I was there and pinching myself. Like, is this real? Like, yeah, it's real. It's real. But how many times have you rewatched it? I need honesty on this.
Honestly, probably 10 times.
I had over under at 30.
Yeah.
I'd still be watching as we're like talking.
I've tried not to watch it too much. But I had, you know, I watched the John Boy video. That was pretty awesome. And then, you know, obviously my buddies from back home sending it to me and talking about it. Probably right around 10.
All right. So I had a flip phone when this happened, my debut. you obviously don't have a flip phone. How many text messages?
Oof. I mean, this whole week got to be close to 1,000.
Woo!
It just seemed like after every day, it was like, 300, 400 plus. I hadn't even looked at Instagram, Twitter, tried not to, you know, I tried to stay off it. And then, you know, last night and today I've been trying to catch up as much as I could.
Yeah. See, 1,000 text messages. You don't need to respond to them all. Just,
yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, yeah. It's a lot.
Tell them there's more to come.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think a few of them was my buddies and like our group message just absolutely losing their minds. There's probably 100 or so of those guys just like sending stuff. So, it was pretty special.
Oh, like I said, it's pretty special for all of us that we got to witness it. And yesterday you're in the lineup, in the day game. And I always wonder, because like day one for me, day two, I don't remember day two. Like, it was a fog. I couldn't go to sleep the night before. And it was a big night as well. And then next thing you know, the next day, I'm in the lineup going like, whoo, how did you stay in the moment? Because you still produced and you had a good game and you're looking at it going, how were you able to flip the page to yesterday, the second game, the second start?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just, like you said, didn't get much sleep like you the night after. You just got to try. I know it's hard. It's hard to do it, but you just got to try and keep it like another game, you know. It's nice being comfortable around, you know, the clubhouse. Like, a lot of those guys I've interacted with spring training and obviously awesome dudes. It's, you know, I just tried to treat it like another baseball game. And I know people are like, oh, yeah, easier said than done. But, I don't know. And I also think for some reason, just not everything is hit. Not everything's sunk in just because it's all happened so damn fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just riding that wave. I think, you know, there's guys, you know, just ride it, Luke. Ride that wave, you know, because it's that's part of this game. You just got to, you know, enjoy the highs and fight through the lows. So,
well, you fought through the lows and you've come out on top. And that's the thing is, your energy is infectious, and it's one that I will always say to people, don't lose it, please.
Yeah.
When you think that you don't need it, you know, because there's older guys on the team, bring it. Because that is the one thing that everyone will always look to, is the energy guy, the guy that's going to give it his all every day. And so far, that's who you are. That's who you are. And it's right. It's been fun to watch, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Kevin. And I think it's a big thing. You just got to stay true to yourself. And, you know, I tried to do that my whole career and will continue to try and do that for the rest of my career. And I think, you know, that's what got me here. And, you know, so why not keep doing it, you know?
Hell yeah. I am all in. I am all in on that. And you know what? I appreciate you coming on Pie Talk for Breakfast. Luke Williams, I will pour out a cold one for you and cheers you right now, because that one, my friend, was a special night to be able to talk about. But even more importantly, I mean, your two starts, you got two walk-off wins. You're bad. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, just hoping to, you know, it's just, you know, hope, you know, you come in, you just want to help the team win. I think, I think the boys are looking good right now.
Well, take it into the weekend against the Yankees and enjoy yourself. Enjoy your fam. And again, like many people around here, many Phillies fans, we're all stoked for you, good or bad. It's your story is incredible. Your energy is incredible. And your first start, the ending to it was probably more magical.
Yeah. Magic for sure. But, yeah, Kevin, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Enjoy your big league off day.
I will.
Oh, and enjoy it. He will. Oh, my. What an interview. Well, not interviewer, the interviewee in Luke Williams. What a story. And for those that, you know, think that it's done when you, you know, you just haven't hit it right in the minor leagues, you just keep plugging away. And it's the ones that keep plugging away that always come out on top. And Luke Williams is that guy. Whether he comes out and it hits 400, 300, whatever it may be, all I know, and from watching him in the last two spring trainings and watching early on, he's the same guy. He plays with a lot of energy, and it's not the, you know, pump in your chest type. It's just the hustle, the grind, the understanding of the game. I'm so pumped. More than anything, I come from a family that just nothing but support. Everyone from my parents, before my brother passed away, to my brother, you know, to my aunts and uncles and all that stuff. I love it. I love the support of the family of his, and, you know, being able to meet them yesterday in the press box and just seeing the excitement on their face. And it's not like, oh, well, we're here in the big league. No, they were just juiced about Luke. And it's just pretty cool to see the second best athlete in their family having success, as his sister, Sammy, is an All-American softball player at Iowa State. I think she closed it out this year. And so, yeah, we got to give her some love on here on Pie Talk for Breakfast, as the number two best athlete, Luke Williams, was just fantastic. And until next time, hope you guys enjoy it. At Kevin Franzen on Twitter, hit me up. Peace.
Kevin Franzen
is out of here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.